Hello, America, and to our friends around the world, welcome to the Common Sense Show. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host, and we are the show that's freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. We have my friend Bob Kudla back with us here, and he does a lot with the market, stock market, that is. He has to be in tune with economic factors, and if you're new to the Common Sense Show, well, you're going to really enjoy this because Bob blends in economic trends, political events, and so forth. He combines it all and says, this is how the market's affecting you. And before we're done today, he's going to have a surprise for you. I think you're going to like this surprise. Bob, after a couple of missteps, we finally got to hook up, and glad we could get together here. Let me just start off with a really broad general phrase. The more I look at what the Biden administration did to the economy, the more I appreciate the obstacles that Trump must deal with. I mean, anything that could have been done wrong was done wrong, economically speaking. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it was a design feature of the past administration. Look, they went for broke, right? They shot their shot to really roll us into a permanent, I would call it a neo-feudal society. You know, I wouldn't call it communism. I wouldn't call it socialism. It's really kind of old school fascism, you know, where the elites run the country and then they have their sycophants underneath. The enforcers underneath that, and then everybody else is kind of at their whim, if you will. And, and not just America woke up to it. You're starting to see it across the board. So Trump took care of that. Just if you look now, is Japan has some economic problems. They thought the socialists were going to take power. The left in Japan were going to take power, but the right actually expanded their seats in the House. In fact, they took over the upper chamber. That's huge. For two reasons. Is one is that illegal immigration was the thing that they were most worried about. Believe that over economic conditions.
Really?
The Japanese are I hate the word xenophobic because they're just really monocultural, and they just said too many people are coming into the country that don't share Japan's cultural values. And then 2 days later, they cut the deal with Trump. So they needed to get past that election. And an interesting thing is that they're going to buy some ag products. Japan's in a little bit of trouble here. We talked about this so many times. You got the environment where you have these mercantilistic countries. You know, I would put pretty much everywhere in Asia in that camp where they suppress domestic consumption and they suppress domestic wages, and then they turn around and try to export their way into balance of payments. And Trump blew up that. So, you know, you have Japan and Korea and the Philippines and Indonesia are all coming on board now with the Trump approach because they need Trump for their economic protection against China. And so that was really interesting to me. Europe is also swinging that way too. So you have Germany trying desperately to keep AfD out, right? I think that's going to blow up on them because most Germans, even though they don't like AfD, you know, that don't vote for AfD, don't want that party banned. And if you ever seen the block of voting is the entire Eastern Bloc of Germany is solidly AfD. And then you have some smatterings around the country, but the old socialist, party, the SPD is a bunch of old people. And so as they roll off, the AfD is going to gain more and more power because the Greens are discredited. Poland went right. Hungary went right. You know, they're trying to keep Romania from going right as well. And so you're starting to see, and Italy's right. So you're starting to see a shift there. But let me belabor this point because it's important economically for us. is that then Trump basically neutered Iran, right? And so what that's going to do now, and then Trump is providing weaponry to Ukraine, because the game was China and Russia and Iran had a game. You can throw North Korea in there if you want, is to basically divide and conquer the United States. You know, get them so spread out. And then you got the fentanyl through Mexico and Trump. That's what's going on behind the scenes. Trump is deli slicing off that. He's now going to flip because Putin won't sign a deal. He's now going to overwhelm Russia with high tech American equipment, which they fear because we're not dealing with, you know, crap from China and crap from Iran. You have stuff that actually will blow every Russian aircraft, every Russian missile out. And also they're going to give longer range missiles to Ukraine. I'm not a big fan of this war, but you know, you got to bring Russia into the negotiating table. You got to bring Russia back into the European fold. So then we can focus totally on China. You know, the Fifth Fleet can now move.
Bob, I lost your audio there.
Asia. Okay. And so China fears. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
China fears the United States as 100% focus on them. And then you got Xi. Is he really empowered anymore? Did this Marshall take over? The reason why this is important is because this creates Pax Americana. That means that we're going to be able to dictate trade deals more effectively. You know, we locked the Congo down, so we don't need Russian metals anymore. Okay.
Well, we locked them down by isolating them. You know, the most brilliant thing that Trump has done was, even though he had to get in bed with a dirty guy in Syria, the dirty guy in Syria kicked Russia out. And then he did this pipeline from Qatar, natural gas into Europe. It's going to go through Turkey and it brings Turkey into the American orbit and it goes into Europe and it had to go through Syria. And now Russia can't exploit African minerals because they're basically cut off from resupply because the Russian bases in Syria are gone. I mean, that was brilliant what Trump did there. I mean, absolutely brilliant. It really isolated Russia. And now, do you think, let me ask you this question. Do you think that Trump is going to tariff the heck out of India and China because they're still trading with Russia because he's threatened to do it?
He won't do anything to India because he views Modi as a friend. Trump's very personal in his politics. And so I think he's going to go after China pretty hard, though. Mm-hmm. China's weak right now. China's weak need. He won't do much to India, just normal tariff stuff, because he can't afford alienating India. India is his linchpin, you know, in Asia. Basically, you got Japan on one end, you got India on the other end.
I agree.
China has to go from one end of the Indian Ocean to the other with hostile nations for their supply line. And you can't move all this stuff over rail. Okay. And Trump, he's in a position where he can kind of deal with Afghanistan too. You know, the Taliban, you know, for it's weird. They're like the Vietnamese, you know, once the war is over, they want to cut a deal with America because they want to get wealthy. They know the Chinese aren't going to do them any favors.
Right. Okay?
And so they're like, okay, hey, the war's over. We forgive you. You know what I mean? And let's do deals together. And guess where those railroad tracks are going through, you know, and you got the stands and you got you got America now trying to co-opt China in the stands. You know what I mean? I'm talking about Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, you know, I forget the other one, the biggest one, Kazakhstan. And, so if he gets the stands, that means China has to go through hostile territory for everything for their supply chain. And then, you know, look, we can cut them off from their markets. And the only market they have that's big, if we cut them off, is Europe's already having a problem with them, is Brazil. And how much can Brazil absorb? So I think it's really fascinating. And I'm leading all this up to tell you that, you know, Trump, you know, went on his tax thing. You know, be that may, his fight with Elon, it looks like they're kissing and making up a little bit too in behind the scenes. Doji's working as expected. You know, you have the stock market pulling all-time highs. You got this warp speed on AI. And you're like, everything's great. But if you're a trader, that's when you get worried, because markets don't fall on bad news. They fall on good news. And the reason why is because there's no more good news coming out. We front ran it, as they call it in trading. And so we're looking for a pullback in this market here, August to October. It could be even starting right now. And I'm not calling for a crash. I'm calling for a pretty decent pullback, and then go back in December and back into a higher move next year in the markets. Economically, we probably will drift into a recession, and then we'll drift out of the recession. But most people won't feel it in terms of the MAGA base. Okay, this recession is going to affect non-MAGA environment. So
can you be specific? What kind of markets?
Yeah, so the liberal coasts are going to suffer more than the interior industrials, because those factories are moving in from other countries back into the United States. But what I would call the Modella economy is in trouble. What I mean by that, you ever watch the TV commercials, the guys working as a barista, but somehow he's able to wear great clothing and go out to eat every night and drink a Modella, and sipping their wines? That those people are going to get absolutely crushed. AI is going to rip out the whole middle section of the white collar workforce, and the focus is going to be on building out these chip fab plants that are going in like crazy, and also these factories that are going to be rolling back into the United States. So we're going to be going from the exterior into the interior. So you're looking at California and New York, are going to really suffer here. And you're going to see the South and the Midwest and the Plain State do pretty well.
Exactly how is California going to suffer?
Well, I mean, look, you just saw this last week at In-N-Out Burger's headquarters moving out. So they just have an environment that's just not friendly. They're not conducive to any manufacturing here whatsoever. You got farmers in the Central Valley that are at the whim of a governor who thinks that he's going to win the next election as president by being buddies with the Green Party. And then you have LA is a mess right now. And so anybody that is anybody are moving their IP and everything out. So you got all the chip plants moving to Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. Headquarters are still moving into Georgia and Tennessee and Florida. And you have an environment where we're just continuing hollowing out here. And, this state will be nothing but a big, Disneyland resort with a lot of illegals. So,
yeah. Well, let me ask you too about New York, Mondami. I mean, I'm not being personally insulting, but his express views are decidedly communist. Will Wall Street become Miami Street? Will they move?
All I know is DeSantis welcomes the mayorship of Mondami.
I agree. I understand exactly what you're saying, and I agree with you.
Well, you got to understand a lot of Wall Street sitting in New Jersey right now too.
Heard that too, but that's not ideal either. But when Goldman Sachs goes to Miami, the change has come. And I'm just saying, I wouldn't be surprised if these things are happening. And back to California, I just saw this morning that California is, because of what Newsom's doing with the oil refineries, is going to lose 20% of their oil production, and they're projected to have major gas shortages, and that's going to spill over to me in Arizona.
Well, that's a design feature by the left. They don't want people in gas powered cars.
That's true. That's true. The EV mandate for 2030.
He's not building enough. Well, it's not just the EV mandate. They want to shove everybody into these cities. So they don't want people driving at all.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with that.
I think that'll all get blown up. Trump can just declare a national emergency and force California to allow those refineries to run, because he can just say it's a national security issue, and he'll take it out of the hands of the governor.
How likely do you think that is, Bob?
Well, I think he'll let California feel the pain first. Look, he's spending all his time getting rid of the illegals here, so that more Republicans can win House seats in the next election.
Interesting. Yeah, and that's interesting. Yeah, because a lot of people, and I don't want to go down the immigration path here, but just to your point, the division I see in MAGA, among other things, I would say it this way. We want to see the rapists, the murderers, the gangsters, you know, the traffickers. We want those guys either in prison or gone. Okay. And so people support that. But when they're going to Home Depot, and getting the day laborers, that's a problem. But what people don't realize is the implications that spin off of not doing anything. And it's a big mess.
I think the Hispanics are all for total illegal immigration.
Exactly. Hispanics who are American citizens. Exactly right. I mean, in fact, the people who write to me, send me emails, make comments in social media, and those that are Latino and American citizens, they are extremely right-wing in terms of the immigration policies.
Well, look,
that's where Trump is focusing. Let me take your attention to one other thing that I'm curious about. I wanted to get your opinion on this, Bob, because I've done some investigation. I've interviewed some people on this, including Joshua Ballard, who's the CEO of the largest rare earth minerals company in America. He feels, along with others, that China really holds the Trump card, pun intended, over America because they're a decade ahead of us in terms of us catching up with rare earth minerals that we need for our basic cell phones, military defense. Do you agree with that assessment? Are we in that much trouble?
I don't know. He's probably talking his book a little bit. But, you know, this stuff is recyclable, by the way. Okay. And you have to understand, 10 years ago, if you recall, the Chinese banned the imports of these minerals to Japan. And in 6 months, Japanese engineers rejiggered out the materials required to develop magnets and stuff without using Chinese rare earths. Remember, rare earths aren't rare. It's just that's part of it's in the periodic table. It's just that they're kind of messy and expensive to process. Okay, and so where America has a shortage of rare earths is in the heavy rare earths. The light rare earths are all over the place.
Can you give an example of what you mean by heavy and light?
Well, I don't know the names off the top of my head, but you got like germanium and things like that. On the periodic table, there's two lines. Okay. The upper line are light rare earths. The lower line are heavy rare earths. Okay. Heavy rare earths are more problematic for us than the light rare earths. But look, Australia has all the rare earths. We have the rare earths in the United States too. We just opened another mine in Wyoming. And 5 years ago, they said lithium is a problem for the United States. Oh, the countries have us over a barrel. Well, within that 5 years, American, prospectors went to work. And now we have two mines that are probably worth $2 trillion worth of lithium. One in Northern Nevada area and one in the Salton Sea. So we're self-sufficient in lithium right now. It's just political, and when I mean political, you got to get the mines up and running. And so, you have that. And then also there's a company out there called Quad U. Okay. We've been in and out of this uranium company, but they actually have rare earths. Okay. And then you have the, obviously, MP materials. If you went from Vegas to California, you actually see their mine off of Interstate 15. Okay. And now we're processing those rare earths in Texas. So, and then Lutnick just did a deal with China, said, hey, you want chips? You want our AI chips? You deliver us magnets. So there's now a little bit back and forth on that stuff. But in 5 to 10 years, they may have a 10-year head start, but we had a problem because politically we didn't want to make the mess. But, you know, but now we put ourselves in a situation where we have to make the mess. Canada has rare earths. Mexico has rare earths. So, you know, we're going to have rare earths. And you know, and oh, it was funny because I was in the solar business for many, many years. And once you get the engineers involved, okay, you solve these problems. Same with solar. It was expensive to install solar until you got the engineers involved. They moved the DC current up to AC right against the panels. You eliminated expensive electrician work. You know, you got the utilities come in there. They pop line feeds right into the panel, so the electrician didn't have to get into the panels. And so that's what happens here too. Japanese engineers and scientists, material scientists went to work. Oh, we don't need Chinese. All of a sudden, Chinese dropped their ban on Japan on rare earths. So that's going to happen here too. Rare earths are going to get pretty cheap here in the next couple of years.
Interesting. That's a unique perspective from what I'm hearing. But I think what I'm hearing is a plea for American intervention to help the companies involved in America.
It's already starting. Trump already declared it. Actually, Biden declared it, believe it or not. Trump's just executing it. Look, America has two problems, right? Rare earths and heavy metals. I'm talking about platinum, palladium. He already covered himself with the Congo, right? And now he's solving rare earths. You know, energy is not a problem for us. Food's not a problem for us. Those were our two Achilles heels, and they're working on them hard. And okay. Trump's doing all the right things. It's just that, you know, when all the right things are known, you know, from a trader standpoint, is that you got companies like Palantir, which is an amazing company, trading at nearly 100 times sales, not earnings. So that company is going to go down. Nvidia is 8% of the entire stock market. Nvidia's market cap is higher than most countries' GDP. It's simply not sustainable. And what happens is when the stock market finally realizes these things, you get a spillover effect into the economy because people pull back. Now, the good news for Trump is if it pulls back this year, just like what happened with Clinton in 99 and 2000, you're going to get a massive amount of capital gains tax revenue on the books into 2026. And I think that's probably part of his plan. He's going to probably foster a sell-off this year just to collect some tax revenue. And from his standpoint, it's a good strategy.
It is amazing timing that I'm seeing from Trump on these items. I totally agree with you. The one thing that I want to bring up to you is a war can really interfere in this economic, these economic trends. And you mentioned the stands in Russia were having trouble. I would also add in Azerbaijan because they have an agreement now, a defense pact with Turkey. Turkey's NATO. Article 5 brings in all of NATO, and Azerbaijan announced 2 weeks ago they were supporting Ukraine. Now, I don't know what kind of material support that they're offering, but they came out and said, we're on the side of Ukraine, and Armenia seems to be jumping in, and NATO just did military exercises in a non-NATO nation in Armenia. Is this an attempt just to pressure Putin to get out of this war and to come to his senses? You think that's what this is all about?
I think so. I think, look, at the end of the day, we want Russia in the European orbit. You saw that thing where they had a defector from China to Putin. Mm-hmm. And basically said, hey, if you lose this war, China's going to take the country, you know, east of the Urals from you.
Yeah, Siberia.
I'm sure Trump trying to, you know, put maximum pressure on Putin in that regard, saying, hey, look, why be my enemy? Be my friend. You can shift all your military assets to the east, and you don't have to worry about us anymore. Leave Ukraine alone. We're not going to, you know, we can't go any further east than that. But we have you surrounded. You know, we're cutting deals with Kazakhstan. Apparently, we're cutting deals with, and you know, Turkey has a lot of influence in those stands because most of those people are Turkic. Okay. Yeah. The stands are Turkic. And so they're not Slavic and they're not Asian and they're not Aryan, Indo-Aryan. They're Turkic. And so now you have Turkey in the south, and Turkey and Russia don't really get along that well. And they view themselves as rivals. You know, Turkey was the biggest beneficiary of China getting kicked out of Syria. And mm-hmm. so Russia is starting to feel trapped here. And, yes, so you appeal to, and I think that's why Putin purged a lot of these oligarchs. We're probably putting bugs in their ear. Get rid of this guy. You guys can get even richer by doing deals with the West. And he went ahead and he started whacking these guys off, just like they're doing in China. So we're probably reaching out across the board in Russia and across the board in China to get rid of their ideologues. And so that's why you're seeing all these purges everywhere. But yeah, that would be my game. If I was President Trump and if I was NATO, I would say, let's just get rid of this thing so we can all back off. Trump took care of our problem down in the South, which is Iran. We take care of Russia. And, you know, Trump's philosophy and all this stuff is let's all just get rich.
Do you think Putin will resort to the use of tactical nukes before he gives up?
No, I don't think so.
A lot of people are saying what you're saying, but he's running out of options. I mean, let me tell you what happened. It was about 6 weeks ago, and I got a tip from a really good source, Bob, who's never wrong. And he told me, he said, Siberia has wanted independence for a long time. And he said, this is good and bad for America. And I said, well, give me the bad. And he said, China's looking at invading Siberia and with Siberian support. And the Russian military there is depleted because of the war with Ukraine. And he said that there's natural resources there galore that's attractive to China. But he said, here's the bad. If they occupy Siberia, then it's a hop, skip, and a jump to invade North America. And he said, this is a major concern right now of Trump. Can you shed any light on that?
There's no way China's going to be able to invade the United States.
Okay, but let's go back to Siberia. Do you think that's likely?
That's possible that China could do that. Now, you want to talk about tactical nukes? I would say that, that's definitely on the table. But yeah, you know, the reason why Russia's not going full bore in Ukraine is that they're keeping their assets in the West. So it's not an easy thing for China. China's not very good at projecting power. Okay, their supply, he would have to move 1 million troops into Siberia to take over Siberia, and guess what? Those troops are all in there trying to keep their people at rest.
That's
so
right.
We would simply just cut off if they invaded Siberia. Europe and the United States would just cut off trading with China. So they would put maximum pressure on there. But
interesting.
Look, there's no way they're going to ever invade the United States. It will never happen. The plan that they're doing was trying to kill us through fentanyl with Mexico. And that's been somewhat successful, so
it's down, but it's not stopped because of the underground tunnels coming in.
Yeah. Well, it's also coming in from Canada.
That's true.
The more stuff's coming in from Canada and Mexico, because it's easier to put 1% of all cargo in Vancouver is inspected. So, they just changed their supply lines north versus south.
You opened up another can of worms, Bob. Canada. Alberta signed a major energy deal with Texas. There's a separatist movement that's really growing and seems to have the support of their political leaders for the most part. Do you think Alberta, and then Saskatchewan's attached to Alberta at the hip, do you think that they could possibly become states inside the United States? And we seem to have lost Bob temporarily here. Maybe Governor Newsom didn't pay his internet bill. But let me elaborate on that while we work on getting Bob back. The situation that we're looking at is that Alberta and Saskatchewan have separatist movements. It's a ballot issue in 2026, but people tell me that it could happen sooner than that. Are you back, Bob?
I'm back. He said, let's start a can of worms.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's go back to, I asked the question, I was explaining it to my audience. There's a big separatist movement in Alberta and somewhat in Saskatchewan. And Alberta is really moving to align with American energy companies. And they have a ballot issue coming up in 2026 to leave. And their leadership in Alberta is supportive of leaving. And I'm reading between the lines, but they're not denying it by any means. Do you think Alberta and Saskatchewan could become states within the United States?
I don't think anytime soon, but they would definitely go independent and ask for American security guarantees and economic treaties. And it's not just Alberta and Saskatchewan anymore. Manitoba will come with Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
And British Columbia, which was totally never going to think about it, now has the polling data is almost as much as Alberta, because the government in Ottawa has basically gave a deaf ear to them too. Got to remember, those four provinces support all the eastern provinces, and they're just tired of it. You know, and so Alberta's just the biggest because of all the oil's there, but a lot of mineral wealth and a lot of economic wealth is sitting in Vancouver and BC, and you got the Yukon too. The Yukon has probably more in common with Alaska than it does British Columbia, and so I think, you know, Trump's keeping his mouth shut because he doesn't want to foster, you know, any anti-Trump backlash on this, but right now, United States trades more with Alberta than Alberta trades with Canada, okay? And then Manitoba has more in common, I mean, not Manitoba, Saskatchewan has more in common with Montana than it does with the rest of Canada. So you would see probably, I would think, look, they're trying to put maximum pressure on Canada to change the formulas and the regulations. And if Alberta goes ahead and approves a separation, then I think you'll see negotiations with Ottawa in terms of a change in federalism versus centralization in Canada. But they'll never become, I won't say never, but look, it can be like Puerto Rico. Why become a state when you can have all the advantages of being a treaty partner with the United States, next door neighbor? You allow bases there. You allow economic linkages. Hmm. You know, security is guaranteed. And I wouldn't be shocked at all if those four provinces, maybe even five, and you got to talk about the Northwest Territories too, which are pretty much all Inuit. They also are already not liking what's happening with Ottawa too. So you can have six or seven provinces just basically create West Canada and East Canada. And basically you're sitting with Ontario and Quebec and the, Prince Edward's Island and whatever it is over there, the other.
We lost Bob again temporarily here. I agree. This separatist movement has the potential to grow, but the linchpin is clearly Alberta. And the polling data says right now just over a third of the people approve, but there's not a big awareness that this movement's going on. And Ottawa, the capital under Mark Carney, is trying to confuse the voters by putting a second issue on the ballot saying, stay in Canada, don't become a separatist. And they're wording it in such a way that a yes vote becomes a no and a no vote becomes a yes. So the Canadian government is trying to create confusion among the voters in this area. But the separatist movement is growing by leaps and bounds. And it's been said that all it's going to take is one more energy restriction on Alberta for this to happen. So, Bob, I think you're back with us here. I think Newsom isn't paying your internet bill. Not keeping the service up.
It's funny. I mean, my router's right next to me here too. So that's okay. Look, hey, we've been waxing eloquently on this. Look, I think the bottom line, from at least from Trade Genius's standpoint, is that there's tremendous amount of opportunities, and it's really interesting too, because there's a lot of these high yield dividend products that are available. And if we do slip into a recession, there's two or three really, really good trades that are going to be easy for regular people to take advantage of, and we can show people how to do that. And just a quick plug on our stuff is that I cut a deal with Dave. If you go to his landing page, there's two levels there, highly discounted. We also then share that revenue with Dave's show so that we can support his show. And so it's a win-win-win. You know, you win because we can help you make money. I win because I pick up long-term clients. Dave wins because we get to support his show. And I think you'll like what we do. We have a high renewal rate. You know, we aren't greedy. We show people how to make money in the market, and we give you trades. And so it's a really good system. I'm doing this for a long time. Dave and I have been doing these interviews together for almost 10 years.
Yeah, it's been a long-standing relationship. Yeah, you just pulled the words out of my mouth because I wanted to bring this back to Trade Genius. And I also like what you said, and I agree with you, and I have done a show on this, that the coming recession, if it manifests, isn't going to affect MAGA very much. I totally agree with what you're saying there and how it more goes to the leftist blue Democratic cities because of their policies. But I want to just sum up one thing for my audience here, okay? You go to DaveLovesTrading.com, and what you're going to get there for a small entry fee that's greatly discounted is this is how we do it at Trade Genius, and you can even do a monkey-see-monkey-do approach and do what Bob and the other people there are trading, and they go into this chat room, and you can learn very quickly what they're doing and how they do it, and as you pick up experience, you can kind of branch out. But Bob, historically, over the 10 years I've known you, you typically win 2 out of 3 trades. Your rate of return varies, but it's off the charts above the market. Can you address that a little bit?
Yeah. And I mean, I look at it this morning. I keep track of every trade that we put out for people. We it's on a spreadsheet, and I post it every day. So right now, our win rate is 66.34%. Awesome. This is based off of 1,521 trades. We have average net gain per trade. This is net gain, win or loss, of 0.73%. But you got to understand, we're in the trades for 3 days. That's a 75% annualized profit factor. So we do really well. And that doesn't even include those high dividend trades. Some of these distributions are over 100% a year, Dave. So, you know, this is an amazing, amazing product spin up.
Yeah, it is. It is absolutely amazing. I don't know, Bob, if we lost you again. My goodness gracious. Okay, let me give that information out again. Guys, if you're looking for a second job, you know, you don't want to go to Walmart or whatever mart and have to spend all those hours away from the home. You just be on your computer. Just follow what Bob teaches you. It's easy. And people, and we've had a lot of people in our audience in the last decade, do Trade Genius, and we've never had a complaint from anybody. Bob delivers and more than what he promises. And the people are absolutely fantastically happy with what's going on with them. And this is, I have Bob on for 2 reasons. One, he understands economic trends like nobody else. And I think number two, he's giving you a great opportunity for a second income. And some people that are in our audience have actually turned this into a first income opportunity. So it's absolutely fantastic. And I would encourage everybody that is in need of a second income to do it. And take heart. I think Bob is right on the money. I did a podcast on this about 2 months ago. I said the coming recession is not going to touch MAGA in a significant manner. It's going to attack the people in cities where socialism reigns supreme. Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry, New York City, I love you. Great place to visit. LA, I've had many good vacations there, but your cities are lost because of poor leadership. And unfortunately, I think economically, you're going to suffer. But anyway, to recap here, Trade Genius is the company. Dave Loves Trading is the landing site, and you're going to get all the benefits that I just talked about. Bob, while you were incognito there for a moment, I just reviewed what people are going to get. So I think on that note, we can close. And Bob, I want to thank you for coming on. And we've overcome a couple of scheduling snafus to bring you this show. And God works in mysterious ways, because there's some things that came out in this interview that we might not have had a couple of weeks ago. So I think it's worked out very well for us. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for joining us. Take advantage of that offer. DaveLovesTrading.com. Bob, thanks for joining us, and I'll talk to you again next month.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Dave.
This is going to catch a lot of you off guard. And because I have both the advantage and disadvantage of living in Maricopa County in Arizona, I'm seeing both sides of this story, and it's shocking. All across America, in specific communities like mine, I live north of metropolitan Phoenix in a rural area, we're going to see roving blackouts before much longer and unsustainable utility bills. And this is coming not just to my area, but across the country, but because we're leading the way in doing this and we're bringing it on ourselves, I have insight for the rest of you across the country that may be unaware of this. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. I just want to say, this is not about promoting fear. This is about telling you, you better get your butt ready, because this is serious. Even our local mainstream media has covered some elements that I'm going to share with you. But I think they left out a couple of key elements for quite obvious reasons. We are brought to you by Storable Food, My Patriot Supply. Let me tell you, if the grid goes down for any length of time, whether it's due to terrorism, natural causes, or what we're going to talk to you about here in this piece, you better have food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools in a society that could fragment for a period of time. That's right, because people that don't prepare will be looking to prey on those who do prepare. And that's an historical fact. So are you prepared? Do you have your storable food? Well, you should. My Patriot Supply, 25-year shelf life on the food. I recommend when you get it, you hide all of it until you need it. You might want to test it out, but I have tasted it. I've tried it. I've been a customer. And I got to tell you, it tastes great. There's 32 varieties of food. You're not going to get sick of eating the same thing. It's low cost and it's high in calories. You go, whoa, Dave, that's not a selling point. Yes, it is. Because if you dip into your storable food, you're eating to stay alive. So this is really critical that you understand this. The food is designed this way. And right now they have a 90-day special with, this is pretty cool stuff, with $200 off. I can't recommend this strongly enough. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. Well, in Arizona, and I don't know what your situation is in your state, some people are blessed to have nonprofit SRP, Salt River Project, as their utility provider. Then some people, in my humble opinion, are cursed to have APS, Arizona Public Service, which is a for-profit entity. And it's the latter that's going to basically be the cause of blackouts coming, along with irresponsible politicians that can't put limits on growth because it brings tax revenue to them and all the things that politicians love about serving in office. If that sounds facetious, I'm just saying, look at the record. Look at Congress, right? Insider trading, legal. Send you and me to prison. And you got people like Nancy Pelosi approaching billionaire status on that basis. The late Dianne Feinstein, senator from California, same exact thing. I'm not going to belabor the point, but I'm just saying, don't think for a second that these politicians sitting back in their chairs, the vast majority of them, care about the implications of what they're doing 2 years, 3 years, 5 years from now. They don't care, as long as it benefits them for the next election or the next deal. And that's what history has shown me. Yeah, we do need a different servant class. As the Bible pointed out, leadership is about being a servant. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Do I have to say more? But let's get into what's going on. Our APS bill, again, and this is why we call Arizona people stealing from us. APS, that's the nickname I've heard repeatedly. They are raising the rates 14% over this issue. And that's still not enough to cover. Channel 10 News with John Hook here in Phoenix, the local Fox affiliate, covered this with real data. He said, here's what they can supply with APS customers. Here's what the demand is going to be with the requests that are before Phoenix City Council, Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, and so forth. And the state, of course, won't step in against any moneyed interest. And what am I talking about? Data centers. Data centers for AI use an inordinate amount of power. Now, we also know, too, from my dealings with Enron back in the late 90s, and I've detailed this a lot, there is energy available that could sustain data centers and AI, but it's proprietary. A lot of it's covered under the Invention Secrecy Act of 1951, and it's kept off the market because the military uses it and you can't. But it's there. I'm just saying the technology exists. So we're relying on the old systems, outdated systems, to bring energy to your home. AI is just getting started. And when they drain the grid in one area, they're going to go to another area. And they're in several areas right now. They're in the Bay Area. They're all through California. They're on the East Coast and much of New England. They're in the South and some key areas like Atlanta. But this is going to spread like stage four cancer. AI is the investment trend right now. The San Francisco area has doubled its billionaires in the last 5 years, and AI is the driving force. It's not going away. And politicians won't put a cap on it. The Phoenix City Council, led by Mayor Kate Gallego, they passed a resolution that has no effect in law, saying we need to limit AI. Okay, well, then enforce it. Because the biggest AI plant in Arizona with manufacturing chips lies at what we call State Highway 303 and Interstate 17. And they're throwing all kinds of infrastructure into this right now. And I can't believe how quickly this has been built. So the Phoenix City Council is talking out of both sides of their mouth. And this is going to happen in your area too. Because, you know, money talks and average people get to walk. And that's the reality. So we are looking at roving blackouts in our future because we can't meet the energy needs. Now, in Arizona, we also are in drought conditions. In fact, Lake Mead, one of our main suppliers of water, the USGS just issued a severe drought, low water warning for Lake Mead. So water and electricity are what needed to power AI, and it's not happening in a responsible, sustainable manner. You know, I think there's going to have to be some major hell to pay, and there's going to be a lot of pain before people are willing to stand up collectively, because most people don't even know about this. You know, I surveyed a few of my friends. Oh, by the way, I'm kind of working on a story here. Have you heard about? No. Well, I've heard it takes a lot of energy, but they haven't connected it to their lives. This is relevant to most of you out there. And if it's not yet, it's going to be. Because this is the future. AI is going to be everything. And you know I have concerns about AI. And let me just remind you before you think I jumped off the paranoid bridge. 10,000 scientists signed a petition when Biden became president saying, please limit AI, particularly in the area of sentience, its self-internal control. Nothing was done. That's a concern I have. Now, setting that concern aside and just dealing with the power energy issue, this is still a major catastrophe. We all are looking at grid down, grid down, grid down. We've talked about this endlessly on shows. We know it's a real threat with the terrorist groups that are in our country. And it doesn't take much to bring down a grid. In fact, I remember when I was speaking with John Moore on air, ex-Green Beret, he said a well-trained squad of 8 soldiers could bring down a grid the size of the city of Los Angeles. And that's pretty accurate, and I've heard this in other areas. So it doesn't take a lot with terrorists. But I'm not even talking about terrorists. I'm talking about what we're doing to ourselves. And President Trump needs to step up and set limits. We need to have a power availability with cost effectiveness in relation and proportion to the energy needs by AI. And how is this benefiting the public? Is this a boondoggle to make all the, for example, APS customers pay 14% more next year and probably 14% the year after that and the year after that? Is it up to us to fund the money-making ventures of the people behind AI for their energy needs? That's what I suspect is going on. And the early returns on my investigation seem to bear this out. And it's interesting, too. There's a bigger issue here, too. You say bigger than, yeah, it's bigger. How many of you have a nonprofit like Salt River Project, SRP, a nonprofit energy utility company? Oh, count your blessings. It's your lucky day as God has smiled on you. How many of you have something like what we're stuck with? And you don't get a choice in Arizona. You should have a choice. With two power companies, you should have a choice. You want this one or that one. They don't give you a choice because everybody chooses SRP because they're nonprofit. They even give refunds. APS has never given a refund. They've never rolled back a rate ever, but SRP has. How many of you have the APS model for profit? Yeah, well, you're the ones that are going to be most affected. But this will spill over to SRP, just not to the level. It's kind of like banking. Would you want to be in one of the big five banks and all the rights they take away from you and the Dodd-Frank Law of 2010 and all those things I talk about? Or would you rather be in a credit union that's closer to the people and they're less likely to invoke UCC Section 8 or Dodd-Frank 2010 to the detriment of their depositors? Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. SRP is the safer bet, but here in Arizona, we don't get a choice. In most states, you don't get a choice at all. You just have one energy company, and you need to ask yourself and find out, is this for profit? Because if it is, it tells you where the rates are going. To the moon, Alice, to quote the honeymooners. I just thought you had a right to know. And I'm sounding the alarm early. I'm kind of the early man on the scene here, Paul Revere, although I want to give credit to John Hook and Channel 10 for covering this. I think, and also believe Channel 3, our local independent tied into the CBS Channel 5, has talked about this as well. And I want to give them credit for at least making the public aware, hey, there's an issue here. But I'm telling you, I think the issue is much more severe than what we saw in the mainstream media. Because people, it's going to get down to, the old saying, heat or eat. We're already there. It's only going to get worse. And politicians won't react to the people until you make them uncomfortable, until you threaten their longevity with regard to their political career. Otherwise, they're going to feed the beast. And I thought you had a right to know. We'll certainly be revisiting this issue at a later time. Hey, if you've not checked out our newsletter, oh my gosh, you should. I'm getting rave reviews on what we're doing with the HIP series, Hiding in Plain Sight. Pretty cool stuff. Yeah, anomalies of the mind, of the person, of the environment. I even covered the UFO hearings in Congress. I thought they were interesting. Now, being a Christian, Genesis 6, verse 4, I think they're the descendants of fallen angels or demons, but that's just my own personal spiritual belief that's biblically based. Some people really think, hey, they're here from Alpha Centauri and they're doing this or that or the other. Some people think it's fake, that we're being set up for a big deception. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know the conclusion. I just know Congress paid a heck of a lot of attention to this, and we covered some of that. And then we've covered interesting things like the pyramids and the nature of Mars and what we found there and how it relates to us. People love it. Sign up for the newsletter at thecommonsenseshow.com. Click on the newsletter link. Sign up for our TV show at thecommonsenseshow.tv. People like both. See you back here next time. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show.